Well, amen. He is alive. And that's what this service is all about. Stacy, you can save that PowerPoint. I won't be needing it. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I've been preaching a series for the last three Sundays on what the gospel is, the power of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, goes into depth in a way that you'll not find anywhere else in all of Scripture and explains the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the importance of it. But he winds up that chapter. I'm going to save that fourth message for tonight. So if you're where you can be here tonight, I want to encourage you to come back. But this morning after that musical, after listening to all of those songs, the Lord just impressed something upon me. This is a celebration of resurrection. That's what Easter is all about. It's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about little chickens and chocolate rabbits. It's about a resurrected living Savior. For 2,000 years, the church has been celebrating the fact that the grave is empty. There are no bones there. There never were any bones there. He rose from the grave. That's what it's all about. And because that grave is empty, you and I can celebrate the fact today that we do not have to fear death. What an awesome Savior. I want to read you what Paul wound up the 1 Corinthians 15 with. If you found it in verse 54, he's talking about the fact that we've either got to die or we've got to be changed. One or the other. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It would corrupt it. So we have to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And everybody in this room, one of two things is going to happen to you. You're either going to die somewhere down the road, or you're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. One of those two things has to happen. And because the grave is empty, one of those two things will happen. And listen to what Paul says to those of us today who've accepted Jesus as our Savior. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which hath given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For the last 2,000 years, the church has been gathering together, coming together on Sunday rather than Saturday like they did in the Old Testament. It is a testimony, it is a witness every time Sunday rolls around that we have a risen Savior to worship. And because of that, you and I do not have to fear death. Last Friday night, I was invited to come down to Dyersburg, Brother Ralph Buckley, that Brother Kevin had spent 13 years with in the ministry. He invited us to come down. He's taking a little church out in the hills down there outside of Dyersburg. And all week long, they've been having a revival. And each night, the preacher that preached, they had a different preacher each evening, was given the task of preaching on one of the seven last sayings of Jesus from the cross. Brother Ralph gave me the privilege of preaching the last thing that Jesus said when he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I told him at one time in my ministry that would have intimidated me, having to come behind all those other preachers and being afraid of maybe doubling up on what they had already said or not being able to say anything that they hadn't heard before. But I considered it an honor because they had been churning the butter all week long, and now I got to come along and rake the cream off the top. We had a wonderful service. The Lord showed up. Jesus showed out. and I give God all the glory. But here's the thing that God impressed upon me about what Jesus said that night, or that day on the cross. The very last thing He said was, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Jesus knew that the Father was trustworthy. If Jesus could commend His Spirit and trust the Heavenly Father to take care of it, then you and I can certainly do the same. And because He did, God kept His promise to Jesus when He gave Him the authority. He gave Him the authority to lay down His life and to pick it back up again. Jesus said, "God's given me, my Father's given me that power." He proved unequivocally on that first Easter morning, when up from the grave He arose, that He keeps every promise He's ever made. Now, I don't know about you. I shared with them Friday night, I don't fear death. I really don't. But I'll be honest, I fear the pain that accompanies it sometimes. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. I don't know if anybody is looking forward to the pain or going through the rigors of having to die. I've watched too many people die. And it's not a pleasant thing. But it would be unbearable if you didn't know what is beyond death. If you didn't have the confidence that on the other side of death there's something precious waiting for you. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 116 verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." That is when He gets to set us free, turn us loose, and take us home to be with Him throughout all of eternity. I don't know if you've ever watched anybody that you cared about leave this world or not. I have. I've watched my grandparents die. I've watched both of my parents leave this world. All of my aunts and uncles, they're all gone. And for many of them, I was there when they pulled out of this world. And I'm here to tell you this morning, because of what I've read to you, death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus Christ has made the grave a fit place to go. And when you bury a loved one and take them out to the cemetery, you've got this promise. One of these days, there's going to be a great getting up morning. The archangel's going to shout. The trumpet's going to sound. And the Bible says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're going to get up out of that graveyard. And it's not going to be the same body that you planted them with. It's going to be a body just like the one Jesus has. A body that can transcend time. A body that can walk through walls. A body that'll never get old. A body that'll never have any more aches or pains. You won't ever have to go to the hospital. You won't ever have to go to the doctor again. You won't ever have to have any more tests run, because you're going to have a perfect body just like Jesus. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but the older I get, it means more all the time. I shared with somebody the other day, I was coming out the door of my camper Friday about noon, stepped on the top step, and my shoe must have had a little dampness from the dew, and when I started out, I didn't stop. I went all the way to the bottom. I laid there for a minute wondering, I wonder if anybody saw me. And the second thing that hit my mind was, I wonder what I've broke. And I began to move my arms, and I could move my arms, and I could still feel my toes, and I stood up, and I had a kink in my back. And the rest of the afternoon, I kind of moved around a little bit slow. Some of you have asked me this morning, said, "Is your hips bothering you, your back bothering you?" Well, both of them are. But one of these days, I'm going to trade this body for another body just like the one Jesus promised we're going to have. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but if you've ever watched anybody you love leave this world and watch them struggle for every breath right before they pass out of this world, and then to realize what a relief it is when death finally does come. I ran up on a friend of mine yesterday. Her mother-in-law passed away a week or two ago, and I'd seen it in the obituary column, and I went over to her, and I told her I saw that her husband's mother had passed away. I'd known her for years. Didn't know she'd passed away till I'd read it, and it was all over with. And I told him I was sorry I couldn't be there. And she looked at me, and she said, "Oh, we're okay with it." She said, "If you had seen the condition she got in before she died," she said, "it was a relief." How can somebody say that? If if you love somebody, how can you make a statement like that? I'll tell you how you can make that statement. When you have the absolute assurance that they're going to a better world, a better place, a place where there's no more suffering, no more dying, no more hurting, no more sickness, no more hospitals. Hallelujah! Ladies and gentlemen, we're headed to a better world if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I won't have to go into any more nursing homes. I won't have to visit any more operating rooms. I won't have to go to the funeral homes anymore. There's a better world awaiting. No wonder Paul said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death has taken its best shot at Jesus and it lost. The grave is not anything to fear any longer. Jesus went there and cleaned it out and made it a fit place to go. And one of these days, if they happen to carry my body off out there to the cemetery and plant me in the ground, I want you to remember this. That same body that you see disappear will be the same body that comes out. One of these days, there's going to be a great getting up morning. I've always said I would love to be around a cemetery when Jesus comes back. One of two places I would like to be, either close to a cemetery to watch the dead in Christ rise first, or be in a church service in an altar with an old sinner listening to them to pray for Jesus to come into their heart. Several years ago when I first came here, Brother Alton Thompson and Brother Jimmy Yoakum came up here and did a revival for us. Brother Alton and Miss Margie were dear, dear friends of mine. He passed away a couple of years ago, right before he passed away. In fact, the last homecoming service he was able to be in the First Baptist Church of Dunn, Louisiana. Miss Margie called me one Sunday afternoon. She said, "Oh, Brother Ricky," said, "I've got to share this with you." She said, "In our homecoming service today, we had a 90-year-old pastor that had been here years ago. They invited him to come back to preach the homecoming service. He got up this morning and gave the clearest presentation of the gospel that I think I've ever heard. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. His grandson, whom he had been concerned about for quite some time, happened to be there that day because his grandfather was preaching. That morning when they gave the invitation, his grandson came to the altar. He knelt down beside of him and led him to Jesus. He stood up to announce that his grandson had just got saved, and as soon as he made the announcement, that 90-year-old preacher fell forward and never even once attempted to catch himself. He was dead before he hit the floor. What a way to go. Telling people about the resurrection. Telling people about a risen Savior. To lead your own grandson to Jesus and then be called to glory. Can you imagine what a celebration took place when he strolled through the pearly gates and he looked around and said, "Lord, I just got through telling them that heaven is getting sweeter all the time. That it's a real place where a real Savior is waiting to take every one of us who've accepted Him as our Lord and our Savior." Now here's the message this morning. Wouldn't it be a shame to go to a church on Easter Sunday to hear those glorious songs we've listened to this morning? To hear about Jesus dying in your place, being buried for you, and rising again to prove to you that He's able to save? And then walk out of that service and never know for sure that He's in your own heart. I'm asking you this morning to take inventory of your own soul. Look in your own heart and answer this question. Do I know that if I were to die today, where would I spend eternity? I'm not asking if you've got religion. I'm not asking if you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or an Episcopalian or a Catholic or anything else. I want to know, does Jesus live in your heart? There's only one way for Him to get there. You have to admit you're a sinner. You have to invite Him into your heart. Confess your sins to Him, not the preacher, not the priest. You confess your sins to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you of those sins and then ask Him to come into your heart. The Bible simply says this about that. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you do that, your name gets written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. God sets you a place at the banquet hall of heaven. And one of these days when the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, they can't have it till you get there. Hallelujah. Knowing that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. I wouldn't leave this service today if I didn't know there was a place and a time I could go back to where I admitted I was lost and I was a sinner and I'd called on Jesus. I want you to stand with me this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed. Easter's more than just singing songs.